This past week, the Federal Reserve cut the interest rate by 25 basis points, puts the rate at 4 to 4.25%. Now, while a cut in interest rates is seen as good news, is it in this case? How important are the mechanics behind the rate cut? What do they reveal about what might be happening next? As an example, what does a cut in the federal rate mean for you as a credit consumer? Joining us to talk about all this is senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young. How are you today, Ryan?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
CEI.org. Learn more about this and other vital important issues with facts, truth, and research. That's what the Competitive Enterprise does and does very well. So, you know, superficially, Ryan, someone hears about an interest rate cut going down and thinking, okay, this is great news. As I said in the introduction, is it always, can a rate cut foretell concerns that those who are overseeing things are seeing right now?
That's a good question. And it might be good news for a slowing economy, but there are trade-offs. The shorthand for those not familiar with the Fed's inner workings is that an interest rate cut will stimulate the economy, which is nice. But there's a trade-off, and people don't talk about that trade-off, and that is higher inflation. And the president has wanted rate cuts for a long time. The Fed has been wanting to, because inflation has been high, they don't want to do that stimulus with an interest rate cut because of that inflation trade-off.
If you look at the mechanics, they call it the, I forget the name off the top of my head, but it's basically a graphic of how the voting went and what the expectations are, and if among the federal governors, and if you look at that graphic, doesn't seem like there's any consensus about, never mind what they did this past week, but what they're going to do in the future.
No, there isn't, and that I think cuts to the real story: who makes that decision? A Reserve independent? Or is it following orders from the president? And that dot chart outlier that's very far away from any of the other dots, and that is the just-installed Fed Governor Steven Moran, an 11-1 vote with him against. So the more people like him get on the board, the more concerned I am that maybe the Fed isn't calling the shots. And that, for me, is the real story.
What would that mean? Because, I mean, we've heard in the past various politicians, maybe most notable Ron Paul, and Rand Paul picked up the baton to end the Fed, but which would be radical to say the least. But what if the executive branch took over the Federal Reserve? Why would that be a less than desirable action?
Because it would, nearly everywhere it's been tried, cause very high inflation. Turkey's central bank under Erdogan. He essentially controls it. They have 20% plus inflation because when you engage in deficit spending, instead of raising taxes and angering the people to pay for it, you turn to the printing press and print more currency. That's what risks happening here. Argentina, same story. Zimbabwe, political control of the central bank. You've had high inflation. So that is what we're risking the farther we go in that direction.
Explain to me why, again, we think interest rates go down, anything that existing off of or through interest rates is going to go down. But this week, mortgage rates went up. Is that because they are not solely or they're partially tied to the Fed rate? There's other aspects, other elements that result in what we see as a current mortgage rate?
That's exactly right. Interest rates from the Fed are part of the story, but they're not the entire story. You have regular old supply and demand. And, of course, in most of the country, it's very difficult to build new housing, to get permits. You have zoning restrictions. You have activists shutting down development projects. Those kinds of things are actually having a bigger effect on raising housing costs than our interest rates. So what the Fed does matters. But if you're concerned about housing prices, those types of regulations matter a lot more.
And also, if you look at Wall Street, there wasn't much of a Fed rate cut bump on the markets. Was that because it was just obvious it was coming?
Yeah, markets, when they know something is coming, they usually price it in ahead of time. And in this case, everyone was expecting a cut. The only question was how big it was going to be.
Dr. Ryan Young, Senior Economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So with a smaller than desired by some cut of 25 basis points, who are the winners in all this when it comes to the credit consumer?
You might see some reduction in mortgage rates. Now, obviously, they're up on net, but because of the interest rate decrease, they'll be up a little bit less. Those of you in the market for car loans, student loans, credit card loans, those rates might go down a little bit. But again, same as with mortgages, there are supply and demand and all kinds of other factors that are also in play. But part of what they want to do with these interest rates cuts, and there will be at least two more this year, is you'll see a little bit of relief on that because that's how you stimulate the economy.
The comments by Jerome Powell, they're usually a telltale sign of what's to come. And that can guide somebody whether or not they're going to use credit to make a big purchase, thinking more cuts mean a lower rates, at least down the line, so I can get ahead of that and make the purchase now and hopefully benefit later. What was your read on what Powell said in the post-cut comments?
I think he's concerned about that same separation of powers question. If the president really does get a majority of the Fed's Board of Governors, we're going to see massive interest rate cuts and possibly higher inflation as well. So he's trying to sound a note of caution on that. And with tariffs also pushing prices up and also slowing down the economy at the same time, he didn't use the word stagflation, but he may as well have.
Yeah, Powell chooses words carefully, and you almost need a Powell translator to understand what he's saying sometimes to get to the true meaning of it. Is it odd that he's so cautious? Is he more cautious now on your observations versus during his time under the Biden administration and how he presents his ideas and the context clues that he gives?
He's putting a premium on diplomacy. I do think the Fed is still making its own decisions, including with this interest rate cut. They've been saying for a long time that that's what they wanted to do, and now they've done it. His worry and mine is about the future. So Powell's been pretty good about standing up for the Fed's independence and saying, hey, this is important for inflation control so that the Fed can pursue the mission it's been granted. But he's also been a little more diplomatic in part because of all that political pressure.
If someone is doing some long-range personal finance planning, and the general belief is there's at least two more cuts, the size of which are uncertain to be sure. It's all going to depend on a variety of issues, on who's sitting as the current roster of governors. What should one or two priorities be for someone who is looking at the credit market right now and thinking, is it time to pull the trigger on a refinancing? Is it first-time home time? What should people be using as a barometer for either caution or, like a better phrase, throwing the dice when it comes to credit because there's so many intangibles just over the next 9 months?
I'm neither qualified nor able to give investment advice, but I would say that mortgage rates are likely to go lower, at least for the next 3 years or so. After that, who knows? But I'm more concerned with the long run for investing and for just economic planning purposes. And we might see, as debt problems grow, higher interest rates, in part caused by this lower interest rate policy. A little bit of a paradox, but I think that's what might be coming.
And we should mention, too, that just when you think you found the gold mine that the government can't touch, high interest savings accounts, they actually get hurt in something like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all the interest rates are tied together. The Fed only controls one tiny little interest rate for bank loans, and every other interest rate in the economy, from government bonds to corporate bonds to mortgage rates, ties itself to that one rate. So everything is interconnected in this economy. I think that's an important lesson that everyone needs to learn.
And for you listening, again, if you're contemplating, deciding, thinking, not knowing when to pull the trigger on a major decision regarding personal finance and credit, information, factual information, is always your best foundation, and that's an element that you can get through the work and the writings of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website. The address economic issues and much more, as you'll see quickly, just on their homepage alone. We've been joined by their senior economist for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young. Ryan, thank you for the clarification, explanation. As always, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.